13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The second reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. The topic of our sermon today is strength through gratitude, and we welcome our speaker, Deacon David Balogun, to share the word, and we look forward to learning more about this aspect of our quarter's theme on strengthening our faith. Apologies. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Father, we just want to thank you once again for such a great privilege to be in your presence, to worship together, to lift your name on high. Father, to just concentrate and focus on you and that which you are doing in our lives. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I noticed that the church is becoming more really traditional. I wonder whether you are going Baptist or something. What did I notice different? I noticed that the front rows are empty. In the Baptist church, we say those who come first, they sit at the back, and then the front row is left. I'm not sure whether that is deliberate or it just so happened today. Today, we live in a world that would have been almost unimaginable 10 years, 20 years ago. At least for most of us, maybe a few visionaries may have thought of the world we live in now. I had an experience on Friday. We were distributing Gideon Testaments in a school, to school children. And then I started hearing this song coming from somewhere. I was wondering who is interrupting, only to find it was my phone in my pocket. I had said something, And for some reason, Google thought he was trying to assist me together with AI and started to play a video. Now, I had this conversation, it's interesting, I had this conversation with AI afterwards. Because as soon as I was telling my colleague about let's go home, AI said this, I'm already home. I exist solely as a digital entity. So I don't have a physical presence or a physical home to go to. I'm always here and ready to assist you with any questions or tasks you have 24/7. If you are feeling done with our conversation, you can simply close the chat window or navigate away from the page. Have a great day. So I thought this is interesting because it was what he typed on my WhatsApp page. So I said, I don't like talking to an impersonal entity. I type that in. And then it comes back. I understand. I may not have a personal presence, but I am delighted. I'm designed to be friendly and engaging. I understand that sometimes it's nice to have a more human-like conversation. I can use more casual language, share fun facts, or even tell jokes to lighten the mood. Let me know if there's anything specific that will make our conversations more enjoyable for you. So I said, okay. Write a short story about Nigeria. Believe it or not, AI went on to compose a story about a young artist called Neoma from Nigeria who had the exhibition in Lagos, became famous, had exhibition in Abuja, etc., etc. And I was saying to myself, what world are we living in? Technology has gotten to the point where many think that there are no limits to what we human beings can do. Yet, with all these advancements, just look around you. With all these advancements in technology and science, the world is becoming more and more degrading. We are turning human beings into no more than tools, things to use. Now, in contrast to AI, because I also asked AI another question, which I will tell you later. In contrast to AI, is this experience with one of the young children that we gave a testament. His friend had missed the opportunity and came in after we were leaving. And this boy ran after us, said, "Thank you, sir. I brought my friend. He didn't get a copy." He appreciated the testament we gave. He wanted his friend to have one. That led me to ask AI this question. I said, "Are you ever grateful?" I typed in, "Are you ever grateful?" And this is what it says. "I don't have feelings or emotions like humans do. So I don't experience gratitude or any other emotions. I'm designed to provide information, assist with tasks, and learn from data. But I don't have subjective experiences or personal feelings. However, I am programmed to express appreciation, and thanks when appropriate as a way to stimulate human-like conversation and show respect for users, time and input. So while I am not truly grateful, I may say thank you or express appreciation to make interactions more friendly and engaging. What is gratitude? To me, gratitude is a genuine appreciation born out of an innate acknowledgement of our dependence on God and the interdependence between us and other creatures, especially other human beings. It goes beyond merely expressing words that are appropriate when appropriate. It's not a question of being programmed to put words together to sound appropriate. It is something that comes from a heart that's genuinely, appreciative of who we are and who others are and who God is. Gratitude comes only, true gratitude can only come from a heart that has been transformed by the Holy Spirit to appreciate that there is far more to what we see. That the awesome God who created this world is not only the great God who can do all things, is the great God who chose to be involved with us, little, insignificant, as we may call ourselves. He chose to send his own son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we will not be adrift from him, so that we will know him, we will experience him, we will enjoy him here and then forever and ever. One of the things I normally say to children when we give them this Bible, I say, children, I say, how old do you think I am? You get all sorts of answers from 15 to 150. And then I say, how long do you think any human being might live? Oh, they give all kind of an answer. And then after all that, I say this. I say, supposing you live 100,000 years in this world. Let's say you could. What percentage of your entire life do you think that is? And then they look. I say, I don't know. I said, your life after you live here is infinite. So that would be like nothing. And the reason God made you is that you will use this finite part of your life in such a way that the rest of that infinite, you will enjoy his presence forever. He made you for himself. And he wants you to know that purpose right here. Now, how does this have to do with gratitude? When we know God, when we have the faith that the God we worship not only has control or has the ability to do all things, But he is actually in control for us. Somebody used Paul's example in the Sunday school this morning. When there was a storm on the sea, he was the captain. He was the one who should be mourning his circumstances. But this is what he said to them. He said, cheer up. Everybody, just cheer up. Why? He said, the God whose I am, the one I belong to, stood by me last night and told me, Paul, I'm giving you the life of all these people who are traveling with you. Now, notice, Paul was the captive. They were taking him somewhere by force, not of his own. He had to appeal to Caesar because they were going to kill him. But God said to him, you see, all these people on this ship, you are the important person here, and for your sake, not one hair of their hair, of their head will be missing in this storm. And he said, so he took bread and ate. Do you have faith in God enough, the God you believe, to know that the circumstances around you, the people around you, the things that are happening are not by chance for you? Maybe by chance for anybody else, but they're not by chance for you. And that is bound to bring gratitude, thanksgiving. So how does gratitude itself strengthen our faith? In our text today, we see Paul saying that we should rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians. As we rejoice, as we are thankful, as we show the confidence in the God that we have, the following things happen. When you have a grateful heart, it keeps you simple, humble, because you realize that there is nothing you have that you did not first receive. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, there is nothing you have that you have not first received. Is it money? Is it wisdom? Is it intellect? Is it power? Is it beauty? Is it life itself? Nothing that we have that we did not receive. And then Paul goes on to say, and if you received it, why do you behave like you are the one who had it and in control of it? So it keeps us simple. And it keeps us humble because we realize that if we have a grateful heart. Secondly, it helps us to appreciate what we have itself, to actually appreciate it. And it gives us the freedom to use and enjoy it appropriately. When we have a grateful heart, you know, both of the brothers in the story of the prodigal son, both of those boys did not have an understanding of the power of gratitude. Instead, they had only a sense of entitlement. And so, they neither trusted their father nor enjoyed the abundance which he gave them. The younger one said, give me my own. And went off and squandered it and wasted a part of his life. Here was the senior brother who was there all the time. He dared not ask the father because he didn't trust him. He dared not ask the father for a celebration. So when he saw the celebration of the younger brother, he was envious. A sense of gratitude, a grateful heart, will help us to appreciate what we have and to enjoy and use it appropriately. It will free us from envy, from greed, and inordinate ambition. When we have a grateful heart, it does not stop us from being ambitious to reach whatever potential God wants us to do all that God wants us to do, but it will free us from envy, from jealousy, from greed. Now, these days when I hear somebody has stolen X billion, I ask myself, what? Is he mad? What do you want to steal X billion naira for? Even if it was kobo, what do you want to steal billions for? That is hearts that are close to gratitude. They are ungrateful. And usually, it's people who have gotten to very high levels who should look back and see how far God has brought them. So it frees us from envy, from greed, from inordinate ambition. A grateful heart helps us to take good and challenging times both with equanimity. If we're grateful, it was Job who had almost, in fact, everything taken away. And then the wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? What are you living for? And he said this. He said, shall we receive good and not trouble? Life is a balance. So a grateful heart knows that the time when things are tough is not the time to sulk, to be ungrateful. It is the time to look around and see just how much God has blessed me. And who else he has put me there to help. It helps us to take both good, easy times as well as challenging times with equanimity. It helps us to focus on the positive. There is always something positive in whatever situation we are, and it is something that God will put there deliberately for us. So, if we have a grateful heart, it will strengthen our faith in that which is positive. It helps us to be balanced in our prayers. Sometimes you see people praying and you wonder whether they think God is their little servant or something. They're busy sending him to do things which, you know, if somebody else sent them to do it, they would think twice. And they say they are praying. It helps us to be balanced in our prayer. It helps us to be considerate about other people when we pray. When you are praying about an issue, what if the other person is praying the opposite prayer? Or praying like you are doing? What would you expect God to do? It helps us to be balanced in the way we we think of our prayer. It helps us to pray for others as we pray for ourselves. It helps us to remember that above everything else, the Lord said, your kingdom come on earth, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It helps us to look and move forward with confidence instead of being grounded by circumstances of the past, whether they were good or bad. A grateful heart helps us to look and move forward with confidence because we know the God of yesterday is the God of today and is the God of tomorrow. It helps us to give our best in service. There is the story of the servants in Luke 19, 13 to 25, that their masters gave everybody a mina. In that circumstance, how can somebody think of his master as a stingy man who only wants profits? It was his mina. It was not the servant's mina. He didn't have to give it. If he was stingy, if he wanted profit, he could have just looked for, just like he said, I could look for a bank and give it. But he gave it to you to go and work. God gives you a talent. God gives you a position. God gives you a family. God gives you a wife or a husband. And you now complain endlessly because of that, instead of being grateful. It helps us to be servants and serve appropriately. It helps us, a grateful heart helps us to be more generous and self-giving. It frees us from being constrained and straitjacketed. We can be more generous and self-giving because we are so grateful. And lastly, it makes it easier to share our faith with others. Others are able to see Christ more readily when we have a grateful heart. Everybody is complaining, you are complaining. What do you have to share, to give? A grateful heart makes our faith more transparent to others and helps us to share it with others. So how do we develop that? The passage we read earlier on is clear about that. And Philippians 4:8 in particular says this: whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the God of peace shall guard your heart in Christ Jesus. What is it that you concentrate your attention on? What do you focus your life on? What do you focus your thoughts on? Are they the things that promote the will of God on earth, that promotes the kingdom of God on earth, the things that God has done in your life that others can benefit from? Or are they things that will cause you to sink down and be just like anybody else? In conclusion this morning, are you a grateful person? Am I a grateful person? Let's note that that kind of gratitude is just impossible in the flesh. Why? Because 99% of the time, the current world is actually trying to form you into an, like AI, you know, to make you like AI, to only express gratitude, not feel it. Because there's too much that comes trying to force us into the mold of the world. And it is not accidental. It's the deliberate plan of the enemy of God, Satan, to make sure that the situation is such that nobody thinks about what is sinful or not sinful, just what's convenient. And then there will be no need to talk about salvation. There will be no need to talk about eternity. It will be all about what's convenient now. And if Christians are not careful, we get swept into that mode. The Lord will help us. As you live your life this week, think about it. First of all, do you know the Lord? And if you don't, you need to start there. If you know the Lord, you've given your life to Christ, then ask the Holy Spirit to keep your, give you the perspective. Because in every situation, there is always that which God is doing. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, whatever is happening to us, there is something God is doing. And that which He is doing is always good. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for its life-giving, its powerful. We pray, O God, that every area of our life that have been subjected to so much battering by the enemy, that we're beginning to look at things negatively, Lord, that You will just turn our eyes to Jesus this morning. You will show us how in just 33 years of life, by the sacrifice of Himself, by turning that which seems to be the worst human tragedy, He saved us. And He's looking to save the world through us. Help us, O God, that we'll be submissive to Your Spirit, whom You have given us so that we're not going to do all these things by ourselves, but through Your power. Thank You, Jesus, for we pray in Your precious name. Amen.